Hello, hello, and welcome to another walking session podcast. Maz Miller here. Just a quick disclaimer that I don't do disclaimers. While I'm a psychologist, this is not therapy. You know the drill. Take what resonates with you, throw the rest out, grab your headphones, grab your shoes, and let's walk it out. I'm not in my usual podcast studio today. Post the breakthrough a couple of weeks ago. just trying to chill out and take it a little bit easy. I've had so much happening. So I'm like, isn't it funny? Like normally I love going in the sauna and the gym and it makes me feel good. But every now and then, no matter how much I'm telling myself to do that, my body's like, nah, you're coming down with something. This won't be good for you. And I know people who actually really benefit from the sauna and stuff when they are unwell. I ain't the one. So I'm just chilling in my office today and doing this one. I haven't got a title for it yet because I've got so many things that I guess I want to talk about. And I'm going to muddle up into one and think of a title at the end of it all. But essentially, I want to read out a Q&A. I've posted something. You're always welcome to also DM me or email in any questions or dilemmas that you might have. And I try to get to these every month. But this one has really come and landed at a good time because while this just came through, I've been talking on Facebook. Oh, it's a whole thing. Let's just do one thing at a time. Where do we start? Do I start with a dilemma or do I start with let's start with the Facebook thing. So I came across a video by Mel Robbins. I'm just going to play you some of that so you know what I'm talking about. It was just on her on Jimmy Fallon, popped up not long ago. I'll just play what she said.
Well, the number one cause of stress in everybody's life is other people.
There you go.
And here's the thing. We can't control other people, what they do, what they say, their opinions, their behavior, if they change, if they don't change. But you can control how much space they occupy in your mind and how much they stress you out. And when you start protecting your time and energy from everything out there, you recognize how much time and energy you now have. See,
I'm not going to go into the rest of it because it's annoying me already. And it's all good if this is a book you've read. It's all good if you like her. And from the sound of it, she's helping lots of people. So that's all good and well. I haven't read the book because I have read a previous book of hers. And I just found that a lot of the psychology concepts were misinterpreted. And without sounding like a dickhead, I just feel like she doesn't have the depth of psychology to maybe be interpreting those concepts. But again, not taking anything away, she's helping lots of people. It's just not for me. I listen to it and it's like chalk. What's like, you know, screeching nails on a chalkboard. I'm like, oh no, that's not what that is. Oh no, that's not what it meant. But I have no doubt that someone listening with different ears is getting help. So that's all good. Anyway, so I commented on there because I'm an idiot. I commented on there and I just basically said, hey, that's not the number one stress in people's lives. The number one stress, statistically, scientifically, research-focused, yeah? Like, and also not just research-focused from what I see in clinical practice. The number one stress in people's lives, some of the common ones are like illness, financial stress, grief, loss, changes, big changes in life, like having a baby, losing a job, moving, renovating, divorce, and actually social isolation, which she went on to talk about, or like she said, removing your energy and your space and they cause risk factors when it comes to our mental health. And loneliness is a real problem at the moment. We're more disconnected and lonely than ever. So then I had very interesting chats about this because, and also when I'm naming these stresses like illness, financial, grief, some people, they're all happening in one. And I know that if you've had them, and let's even just name a positive one, like having a baby, I can tell you right now that your number one stress when you're having a baby ain't other people. Don't give a shit about other people. When you're losing your job and you're trying to get by, you don't give a shit about other people. You just want to get a job. Do people play part of stress? Yes. I am not encouraging people to be in unhealthy relationships. I thought that goes without saying. Like if someone's harming you, of course. I just don't like that at the moment there's a lot of like, if people are not on the same wavelength as me and they're causing me some distress, you just remove yourself. I think that's what I don't like. Within the discussions, it was super interesting. One that was really helpful was someone who said, oh, I don't agree. And I said, that's okay, you're allowed to. And then we had a chat about, a genuine curious chat about, she wanted to know, well, why do you think people isolate and what's behind that? What's happening there? And like I said, it's actually not that simple because people isolate for so many different reasons. And I'm going to go into some of those, I guess, today. But it's not that simple. And then someone also told me that I was complicating this. And I said, instead of simplifying it, I said my goal wasn't to simplify because we are complex. See, this is like my problem with this whole thing, that we're just simplifying humans and life situations to things like let them. All right, that just works as well as telling my anxious clients not to worry, just don't worry about it. I get it, and I'm sure, like I said, I haven't read the book, and I'm sure there's lots of value in there. I just don't like when, A, we're blaming others for our problems. Like she said, number one stress is other people. She goes on and makes a joke about your family teaches you this and da-da-da. I just don't know. I'm not into that culture. I think that we're all humans. We all make mistakes. We all need to be able to forgive. We all need to be learned. I sure as hell have pissed off other people at different times in my life. So I expect other people to piss me off, but I think there's much more to be said. And maybe she addresses this in her book on how to deal with those people and what you can do to not focus on people and just focus on yourself and your life. A really, really good book, if you wanted to do this, that I would recommend over this is the book by Dr. Romani Duvasula. Probably saying her name wrong. But Dr. Romani has a book called It's Not You. And it talks about having narcissistic people in your life without over-diagnosing or even diagnosing. But she also brings up a really important point that maybe triggers a little bit of me in this Facebook thing with Mel Robbins. She talks about everyone's solution to those people that maybe your bosses or your parents or a partner or an ex-partner, the solution is to remove yourself from the situation. But what if that's not the option? And it's not always the option. What if you're an only child and you have a sick parent and you do actually want to be there doing that part? But how do you do that? Like, you don't want to remove yourself. What if removing yourself from that one person plays a role on your whole social circle or on your whole family and has a big impact where you might not need to do that? Or you might have an ex-husband, or you might be with a partner who is hard, but your kids are 6 months and 12 months, and it will actually be worse for you and everyone in that situation to remove yourself. So I guess it's those nuances that I was kind of thinking of. But yeah, that's a really good book if you do have some difficult people in your life. And it's like a real good discernment about what to do in those situations. But don't just let them. Actually, don't fucking let them. We're letting people too much. Anyway, I could get it wrong. Whatever. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear. I'm never going to comment on anything again because I also had people on there commenting on things and making up stories. Then I was like, hang on, are you even a real person? You're just making this up to get a rise out of me. Like, that is so funny. Like, ugh. I forget that social media is not real world sometimes because I was late to the social media party and I don't pay it enough attention. So I think this is why I like this format and being on podcasts rather than on there, because I'm like, what a waste of energy. I'd rather just actually talk to a real person and help them than what are we doing? Like, what are we doing on there? And I thought pointing out research would be helpful, and it ain't. So we'll just stick to this. I'll just help people here. If you need me, welcome to email and DM a dilemma. which I'm going to actually address one of them today. But yeah, you won't find me in there. I'm always almost was tempted to just like disable comments on all my social media so I never have to deal with this shit. Anyway, whatever. Whatever. Just let them. I'll just let them. Anyway, let's go to it. So that aside, also, does just let, one more thing, does just let them, does it sound a lot like Mark Manson's book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck? I feel like it's like a firm female interpretation of it, maybe. So if you're having trouble with caring too much about what people think and do, that might also be a book that is a bit more original, I'd say. Again, without having read hers, because I'm not going to, because it does my head in. She does my head in, so I'm not going to. But you can. I'll let you. Okay, I'm now going to go into this dilemma, which will tie into this nicely. You'll hear it as I read it out. All right, here we go. Hey, Maz, I've been feeling really lonely recently. I know I have friends and family who care about me, but I hesitate to reach out because I don't want to feel like I'm bothering them with my problems. I get scared that I'll come across as needy or like I'm asking for too much. So instead, I keep it to myself, but then I just end up feeling even more disconnected. I'd love to know, how can I ask for connection and support without feeling like a burden to the people around me? Oh, man. So many things here. The first thing that comes to mind is my whole episode that I did on hyper independence. And my first question to this person would be, why are you scared to come across as needy? So you actually are saying in here, you have friends and family who care about you. So you know they care about you, but you don't want to bother them. Why not? I love it when my friends bother me. The people that I love and care about, please bother me. It is not a bother. And I know so many people feel this way. That's the whole thing. Like, you know, I'm going to go off tangent, but hey, that's what I'm here to do. A lot of mums often talk about the village, like, where's the village? I've just realized there's no village. And I often see them talking about the village when they have kids, but they didn't worry about the village before having kids. The thing about the village is that the village is a give and take. So usually before you have kids, you help the elderly in the village. This is purely from experience of actually living in a village. You help the elderly and the people with the young kids before you have kids. And at any stage in your life, you help the village with whatever you can help. So then when you have kids, you have other people helping you with that. But you're still helping in other ways. And ongoingly, like once your kids grow up, you don't say, peace out, village, they're at school now. You actually stick around and help the village. And I think that's the important thing that people miss about the village. So for those of us who actually love the village and do care about friends and family and do want to be there and do want to help as much as we can whinge about it sometimes, it's fucking hard, okay? So we all are in the village also whinging, just so you know. But we do genuinely want to help. I can't think of anybody in my family that I think of, even when I don't want to, even when it's late at night, even when it's hard, I still want to hear from them. And it's not a burden. Like, it's not. You never look back and go, fuck, I'm so pissed off I helped that person. You don't. It's what you do. And I know I've often said, like, sometimes even when you've helped people who haven't helped you, I will still help them because that's how I choose to live my life. Those are my values. I'm still going to help people. I'm not going to let other people's values and their way of living now change the way I do things. I'm going to still do it. I'm not talking about that saying that I often say in here, don't light yourself on fire to keep other people warm. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about overextending yourself in a way that's harmful to everyone. I'm talking about if you've been feeling really lonely and you are my mate or my family, I really would want to hear from you. And I might have two kids screaming in the background while we talk about it, but I still want to hear from you. So let's go back to this bit. I get scared that I'll come across as needy or like I'm asking for too much. Why? I'd love for you to tell me why. Is that because you've been told, like I said, that hyper independence piece? Maybe checking into that podcast episode. Have you been told to just do it yourself and like you are a burden at some point in your life? Have you been told that you're needy for basic needs? Because it's a basic need to be around people and to give and take that social interaction. Have you been told before that you're asking for too much? Has somebody, because you're writing to me because there's a need there, right? You're writing to me because instinctively you're like, I feel really lonely. And somewhere along the way, someone has said that that makes you needy and that means that you're asking for too much. And I'm here to tell you that is all bullshit. Like, that's all bullshit. And if people around you are telling you it's too much, then they're the wrong people. And I'm not doing a Mel Robbins and saying get rid of them. What I'm saying is, if you've been told that before, you need to restructure. Where did it come from? What time did, like, my parents would have told me I was too much and asking for too much because they were refugees in a new country where they couldn't speak English and were pretty much homeless and they had to figure shit out. So yes, I would have appeared needy as a child asking for anything under that level of stress. But as an adult in life, I don't look at them and go, you're the reason why I feel, no, that explains it, but it doesn't mean that I have to sit with that. Now as an adult, I can reflect and go, that experience explains it, that experience explains it, but now I'm here to decide what I need because I'm now a 40-year-old, however old you are, I don't know how old you are, but I'm in my 40s, I know what I need, and if it's too much for those close to me, knowing how much I give, then it's too much for them. That's cool. I'm not changing again how much I need and give. Does that make sense? And obviously, we're not talking about unhealthy attachment styles where you just, you need the other person for every minute, every second, every reassurance. That's not what we're talking about. You're saying you feel lonely and you know they care about you and they love you. And you're saying you keep it to yourself and then you feel even more disconnected, which just that bit that you said there, I keep it to myself, but then I just feel even more disconnected. That tells you that keeping it to yourself is not the way to go. Plenty of things we can keep to ourselves. There's plenty of things that I journal about. I know. I talk about it. And you can start there. You can reflect on some of this stuff. There's plenty of things that I won't talk to people about until I figured it out. There's plenty of things that you will hear me, especially a few days before my period, about, you know? But that connection and support, that needing connection and support, I don't know why we've done this. Why have we created a world in which supported, feeling supported and connected makes us feel like a burden? It has to be because our lives are so busy and we're running around doing a million things and that then that becomes the bottom of the list or something. But and also I'm laughing because I actually don't know how to do this very well. So I obviously, I'm a European person. When someone in my culture says, how are you going? You tell them how you're going. You say, do you know what? Actually, you know, it's been really shit. Oh, but this has been good. But do you know what? If you want to know how I'm going, I'm not going well. I'm not sleeping. I'm not having time to myself. I'm not. So it's not going that good at the moment, at the minute. And I've done that before and people are like, I think they just want to hear the, I'm good. Everything's good. The weather's good. And I've had to learn how to do that somewhat. Don't know that I'm still very good at it. Yeah, I don't think I'm still capable of that. I'm still very like, don't know. I'm just, do you want to know? Maybe I've gotten better at learning who to just smile at rather than respond to. Maybe that's what I've learned. Okay. Now, amongst that Facebook thing, and maybe this will help this person as well, I got asked a question, why do we isolate? Why do we isolate, Maz? So why do we do it then? Why is this ringing true for so many peoples that are reading Let Them and saying, yeah, fuck them? And I think I am sure I've touched on this before. I think that when we do have a lot going on, our world becomes smaller. And then exactly like you said, then you pay the price of that small world. Initially, it feels better. Initially, it feels more manageable. Initially, you feel like you're in more control. Initially, you feel like I just have myself to worry about. And that's cool initially. I think you get the relief, but then your world becomes, I don't know, just loses some shades of color. It loses, it's just that social connection that we need so badly. Like, we need each other. We need each other so much. It's like our number one thing. We've grown up in tribes. Like, this is who are. This is how we evolved. Why are we stopping it now? So I think that's what it is. I think that people just get so tired, so overwhelmed that they shrink their world in every way, whether it is not seeing certain people, whether it's not going out, whether it's a bit what I said just then. I feel like I'm coming down. I'm feeling a bit sick and overwhelmed. So I'm going to give exercise and the sauna a miss today. I don't know, maybe another couple of days. But then after that, for me, I know after that I go, all right, let's get things back. So maybe it's just that for you. I think that's one reason why people isolate, but there's so many reasons because we're so complex. Some of us do that like to recharge. Some of us have the confidence. I don't have the confidence to be vulnerable and talk about our things. Some of us seem like we're withdrawing because we've asked for help and it hasn't been there, so we kind of give up on asking that person to that person, other person in our life. It might be that experience that we're isolating, withdrawing because we've done it so many times. So lots of reasons. I think the biggest thing, if you're relating to this person or something's are popping up for you right now as I'm talking, the biggest thing is to actually sit with it and go, A, why do I believe that having needs makes me needy? What's this too much? What's too much? What are you supposed to do on the opposite end? Just keep to yourself and be miserable and get depressed and not enjoy life? Like, why are you scared to take up space? Why are you scared to say what you need? Why? Because the thing is, the people around you, those relationships, if you don't start speaking up and connecting, they're all going to go to shit anyway. So you may as well say, hey, this is what I need. This is what I'd like. And then at least there's an opportunity or possibility that the others will come to the party there because you need what you need. And that's it. But yeah, maybe reflect on that. I'll put something together as always. I love putting these little journaling things together. And then the other one is, where was it? You said something like, I end up feeling more disconnected anyway. I think that's the one. Like, you want to know how to connect and get support without feeling like a burden. I think I'll just go like straight in the deep end with you there and go, what if you were a burden? What if, let's go to the worst case scenario. What if you were a burden? What if something horrible happened to you today and you relied on others for support? What if, I don't know, let's go wild, you end up in a wheelchair and you can't do anything that you're able to do on your own, just for maybe for a period, because obviously there's lots of people in wheelchairs that can do lots of things. But there would be that period where you're going to rely on everyone. And quote unquote, you're a burden. What if? What does that say about you? How does that feel in your body? What does it feel like to allow, though, to have that compassion that you would have for yourself at that extreme end? Because you might go, well, in that case, Maz, it wouldn't be my fault that I had an accident and that happened, or whatever you're telling yourself. But what I'm telling you is it's also not your fault right now that you need social connection. Welcome to being human. Why do you think social media bloody goes off so much? Because we're looking for it and it's the fakest bloody version of it, but it still fulfills a massive need. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so big, right? It's still that. It's the fakest version. I actually really hope that as all this AI shit and stuff comes in, that people are going to start meeting a person and reconnecting to that basic need. Because there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. You can watch somebody live and chat to them. You know, we've all been through this through COVID. How sick was everyone of Zoom? Like, it is not real. Anyway, rant over. It's not your fault that you need human connection. That's what you're supposed to need. I'm actually more concerned about the people that don't need it. That's a bigger concern. And I'm not talking about introverts. I'm not talking about that. You can be an introvert. You still need people and you still need connection. You just do it your own little way. Okay, enough of that. I'm going to leave that one there. And I am going to put something together as always. And yeah, hopefully it helps. Let me know if it helps. I need to know. I need to know feedback. I'm talking out into the abyss. The best way you can tell me if this stuff is helpful, you don't even have to DM me if you don't want to, or send an email. I know it's a lot of effort, but maybe just follow the podcast or rate it. That will show me that I'm on track. I think a few people have, which has been lovely to see. All right, leaving that one there. I am going to let you go. I hope I answered that well enough. If I missed anything, sorry. I'm sure I'll get around to it in another future podcast episode. All right, leaving it there. Just before I do, though, you know where to find this resource that I just magically mentioned. If you go on my website, walkingsession.com.au, you'll find the Walking Crew there. It's a free membership. And for each and every single one of these episodes, I create a little worksheet that you can download to add to. I have lots of ideas buzzing in my head about more that I want to do in that space. But as per the breakthrough, I am pacing myself. All right, now I'm leaving it there. I'll chat to you next time. Peace.